The professional filmmaking community in El Paso is growing each year, with many filmmakers opting to split their time between commercial work and personal projects. There's a steady stream of locally produced features and short films completed each month. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. One of the goals of this program is to occasionally profile the work of filmmakers working in and around the El Paso region. Today's guests have released a short film titled Cycle through their company Double Scope Films. Jaime Blanco is Double Scope's founder, and Jesus Nunez is the firm's creative director, and they're both in the studio today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Welcome to On Film. I've not had you both in before, but I've been following Double Scope for some time on Facebook, and I've seen some of your past work. So congratulations, new film out in the world.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I understand this is not technically a new film. It's been traveling between some festivals for a while, but this is new to streaming. Everyone listening can now go to your website and see the film, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Like you said, it's been in the film festival circuits for the last year and a half to 2 years and stuff. And so we felt, okay, it's ready to be released and shown to the world. So we released it this past week. And, you know, throughout the last 2 years, we've shown it to, you know, a lot of our family members and friends and stuff. And
sure,
we've gotten really good feedback from it. And since we released it this past week, that's all we've been hearing as well. And you know, it's a good thing to hear, you know, everybody's opinion and things like that. And, you know, there was a specific reaction when I came up with the idea, the concept, and wrote the first little script to it. And I was hoping that people would get what I was trying to get from it. And, yeah, everyone's pretty much been nailing it. So, because I don't consider myself a writer. So when, you know, people would say that, you know, what I was hoping they'd get from it, you know, I was glad. Yeah, I was like, okay, cool.
It's gratifying to get the reaction you had hoped for.
Exactly, yeah. So
it is a mature and very polished short film. Sounds great, looks great. Jesus, why don't you walk us through for people who haven't seen it yet, and it is on your website so they can stream it there for free, but tell us a little bit about what Cycle is, the story, and what you're trying to convey with that.
Yeah, sure. When we started writing that short film back in 2015, Jaime came up with the idea of the relationship between a father and a son, and it was just a concept, and he gave me kind of a very, very rough first draft, and I just came along to kind of beef it up a little bit, you know what I mean? Like to add a little more of the emotional side to it. And yeah, so the story is about a father who is part of a lineage of pretty much males who get abducted at the age of 28.
Hmm.
And I mean, you can't really tell from the short film, but that's just a backstory where they start getting abducted at the age of at eight. But they don't realize it until, you know, it's too late. And the father, in hopes of getting his son to realize that this is like an inevitable, like, you know, mm-hmm. evil.
Yeah, fate. You can't escape it.
To let him know, because he didn't know that. And he just found out way too late. And he wasn't happy with his life. He just went along with what people told him to do. And he didn't want that for his son, which is kind of a metaphor for everybody. You know, like, sure, like, not everybody does it. Gets taken up by aliens at 28. But everybody is at one point, you know, going to pass away. So it's to the point to just leave your life the way you want to live it.
It's basically a father leaving a video diary or message for a son, trying to convey some wisdom or parting thoughts to them. But what's interesting is that even though you're talking about abduction at the end, it's unclear what actually is going to happen, what this thing is coming. So it allows the viewer to plug in all sorts of layers of meaning to some of the words, but like
exactly.
You say, it's life. It's a father trying to impart how to live to a son and how to face whatever is coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's kind of what the idea was, right? Because I had a really good relationship with my dad. He passed mm-hmm. away in 2003. And so that's kind of what originated the idea. Was a basic, you know, if you come down to the basic, simple idea of what it is, it's a relationship between a son and a father.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to. The whole, like, sci-fi thing, that's just, you know, the nerd in me that wanted to do something sci-fi-ish, but didn't have the budget to do some crazy stuff, you know?
No, it's very heartfelt and emotional for such a short film.
And really the origination is, I had the concept, but then I guess I went about it little backwards than most people when they write things. I actually scored the film first, and then I wrote the first little rough draft of it. So it's almost like I choreographed the dialogue to the music, almost like if you're doing a music video or something like that. And so I wrote at least the basic idea of the music, which is what you hear towards the end. And then once I passed the script over to JJ, then once he elaborated, then I composed, stretched out the music and things like that. I added some more of the emotional part of the
music.
I'm
glad you brought up the music, because it is one of the things that sets the film apart from a lot of local films. It's the music resonates with the subject matter so well, and it's fully scored, and it adds so much to the viewer experience. It's rare in local films that people have access to musicians who are as capable as you, and I think the visuals also are above normal for the area. It's very cinematic. I wanted to ask you, though, watching the film, it's just barely 6 minutes, and it crams so much depth into those 6 minutes that it certainly feels like there's a much bigger story here, and that you might be thinking of a broader project. Is this a kickoff of something bigger?
It's supposed to be, yeah. We're trying to find some kind of venue, some kind of investor that could help us out to turn this into a TV series. It's really just an opening scene to a bigger sequence, you know, of events. And, you know, hopefully we can get that started as soon as possible. Since now people have seen it, I'm pretty sure now people want to see more of it, you know?
It certainly feels like it's a teaser for a much broader story. Yeah. And so you've already developed some characters within those 6 minutes and these relationships, and shown that you can technically pull off a really good-looking film. So I hope that we see more of that. How do you, when you go into a project like this, a creative project within your firm, how do you divide up the responsibilities?
Well, usually it's us two, and then we have one of our other colleagues, Sean Salcido. So us three, we kind of come into the room and just try to bounce ideas and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll throw some stuff on the board and see what sticks, and then we take it from there. When it goes into production, you know, JJ is usually the director. Though, there's times where him and Sean will trade off and stuff.
Yeah, trade off.
I usually stick to cinematography. That's kind of that's what I like to focus on
and
in
the
production.
Music, it sounds like.
And music as well. I do a little bit of everything. I've always felt it's good to be a little well-rounded and know a little bit of every department. But cinematography and obviously music, that's kind of where my true passion is. That's where it lays.
Classic grip in classic indie fashion.
Hats
constantly, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I also do posts and motion graphics, and, you know, I also do audio. I did the sound mixing. Carlos Corral from Mind Warp, he helped us with recording.
Carlos is everywhere.
Yeah, Carlos is everywhere. If you're hearing right now, Carlos, thank you so much, man.
Yeah. So how do you balance these kinds of projects with your commercial work? Because this is just one aspect of what Double Scope Films does. Why don't you walk us through some of the other kinds of things you do commercially?
Basically, it comes down to scheduling. It's honestly, scheduling is everything in our company, as it is with any company, you know. We just got to make sure that everything gets done when it's scheduled for, and we just attack it from there.
So when the paying work, there's a gap in that, you jump in and do one
right,
of these perfect.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but it needs to be planned like way before. We just can't like, you know what, we have free time. And
right, you've got the script and all the pre-production done, and it's ready to roll.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah.
This was an all El Paso production, this short film? Fantastic actors, everything.
Yeah,
well, that's a great showcase for what can be done here.
Exactly.
In the borderland. The easiest way to find it is at your website. What is that?
doublescopefilms.com/films.
Right,
that'll take you directly to the film section, and right now we have it on a pop-up type of thing where it pops up and automatically starts. Well, I don't know if it automatically plays.
Yeah, no, it doesn't play automatically, but it'll pop up.
Yeah.
Right, just click the play button. So how long have you two been working together or known each other?
I met you in 2014, I think.
Yeah, 14. Yeah.
It was a short film that him and a buddy of his were doing. What's it called?
The Couple.
Oh, yeah, it was a horror.
Shout out to Ray Munoz, yeah.
And so, he was looking for some help with that and stuff, and that's kind of how.
Did you both grow up watching movies and thinking, I want to do that, or was this something that came a little later in life?
For me, at least, it came a little bit later in life. I mean, I've always seen, you know, films, and grew up watching films both in El Paso, and I lived in Juarez for 7 years, for the first 7 years of my life. So getting those two worlds of cinema was really something. And then I went to see CMI at NMSU, and I kind of just got a taste for it, and I started to feel what cinematography was all about, and I realized that I've always liked that, and I just decided to follow it as a career.
Fantastic. How about you, honey?
Yeah, as for me, I mean, grew up, I'm an 80s kid, so I grew up watching a lot of the classics, you know, E.T., Close Encounters. That's kind of where, you know, the sci-fi, Star Wars, obviously. Exactly. Exactly. So I've always loved films, but I've always been a musician. You know, I was throughout from fifth grade to, you know, graduated from high school. I've always been in orchestra. So I had that background, but I didn't really – I've always been a creative person. So my original, like – thing that I wanted to be when I'd grow up was to be like a cartoonist or something. And so I would draw through the summer and everything. But then eventually I started to discover music, and I kind of fell in love with it. And that's when I discovered this is really what I would love to do for the rest of my life. Yeah, there's no money in it. You know, parents are always like, oh, you got to have a backup plan. But, you know, so I eventually moved to Austin after graduating high school. I lived there for 10 years. And just pursued, you know, the music, quote-unquote, career. And eventually I was able to get into film. And, you know, I didn't go to school for it. I'm self-taught and stuff, and just kind of got into it little by little, learning and learning. And, you know, nowadays, you know, everything's on the internet. You can find any type of a tutorial, especially anything that's technical, you know.
Right.
So I ended up moving back here to El Paso in 2007 to help out my mom and stuff like that. And I was like, well, I'm going to be here at least maybe 5 years. So let me – I got to do something positive. I got to do something with my life, so I can't just be working a 9-to-5 job. And so after a couple years working, I decided to quit the 9-to-5 thing and just start my own business.
Double scope.
Exactly. So I started in 2008 and been running it since and stuff. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a challenge. And it's if you have the true passion inside of you of what you love to do, you're going to keep at it. It doesn't matter, you know, what comes at you and stuff.
Well, I'm glad you both have found each other and that Double Scope is making films. And thanks for coming into the studio today.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you, Charles.
If I may, can I give a shout out to Paul Garcia for having his son Xander on the film. He's a little boy you see on screen.
Of course.
And he did an awesome job, actually.
Great. My guests today have been Jaime Blanco and Jesus Nunez of Double Scope Films. Double Scope specializes in commercial video work, music videos, live event recordings, and films. And you can learn more about the company and see some of their work, including the just-released short film Cycle at doublescopefilms.com, and they are on Facebook. A final program note, my own film series, The Film Salon, will screen the 1955 gothic noir, The Night of the Hunter, tonight at 6:30 p.m. at Alamo Drafthouse. The film stars Robert Mitchum in one of his most memorable roles, that of a traveling preacher, deranged ex-con, and serial killer stalking a family to find hidden money from a bank robbery gone bad. Cost is just $3, and tickets are available online or at the box office at Alamo Drafthouse. Thanks to Kimberly Garcia for recording today's show. On Film's producer is Dennis Wu. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.